And if you put every girl, gay, and they off of Spotify, who is going to be listening to your podcast, Man, I Love Film?
Oh, that not. In the sense that.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Man I Love Film podcast. I'm
You know,
Issa.
I'm chill. Cold opens make me think that we need like a little theme song or something.
We do. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm just very picky about like what I want it to sound like.
Like a house remix of a song from 1976.
Yeah, but like not too hype, because then it's like
Yeah.
if we're on an
Because I'm.
off day, it's like and then we're like, hey guys, welcome back to the Man I Love Film Pod.
Okay, yeah.
You gotta
Very
temper
true.
expectations.
True. It's. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's been a hot second since I have been on the pod. This is crazy. I feel like we have a lot to cover today because we're doing both Little Women movies. But I do want to cover, because we saw each other over the holiday and we watched quite a few movies.
One could say so.
Oh, like we definitely. Yeah, tis the season. So, over the holiday, Ace and I went to go see Wonka. And my 12-year-old brother came with us, and we got Wonka meals. We got Wonka burgers
We looked at the pancakes. I contemplated them for a long time. I said, not today. Got a burger.
IHOP. Yeah, and then we went to see Wonka, and my brother was definitely not as excited about it
As
as
we
we
were.
were. Like, we were really excited.
In our defense, that was his second viewing, and he seemed very tired.
Yeah, he was really tired. But we saw Wonka with Timothée Chalamet.
Timmy boy.
You know what? I'll say this is my favorite Timothy.
That's a bold statement to make in this episode.
I'm sorry, it is like period. He needs to be singing and dancing. He needs it. Like, I feel like the joy I saw in his face, the acting he was giving was, I'm having so much fun right now. This is what I need to be doing for the rest of my life. And I liked him best in this. Like, I liked him best in Wonka out of anything else I've seen him in.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I had fun. I liked the movie too.
I think it was fine. I think that people, I don't know. I guess it's because I'm not on Twitter, so this feels cringy to say, but the only comparison I have is film talk instead of film Twitter. So I don't know if it's just that I already get so many people who not pretentiously follow film, but like follow film excessively, or you know, as their main hobby, or even as their job, you know. So they're gonna be delivering critiques of the Wonka film that it was not trying to achieve. You know what I mean? I mean, I guess I've seen some people saying that like it didn't hit the like all of Roald Dahl's stuff is kind of dark. Like it's still kids
Yeah.
stuff, but it has like an element of like creepiness to all of his things. And this didn't really have that at all. But you know, I wasn't expecting a masterpiece.
The other movies were necessarily creepy. Like, other than the tunnel scene in the old one and the new one just being a little weird. And, like,
Maybe
even BFG was
creepy.
not off-putting. It was just
You're
a
the
little
only
odd
person who saw
sometimes.
that movie.
Yeah, I'm a Roald Dahl fan. I'm
Oh
right
yeah,
there.
definitely. You might not want to see
Oh wait, no, never mind, never mind. I'm a movie fan. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did. I just saw the movies.
it. Me defending Joe Coy because I only saw his Taylor Swift joke.
Also saw Witches. I've seen a lot of his like story, and they're just like slightly off-putting or like a little odd at times. It like when you put it into like a movie, because you have to like make up these like magical or like, you know, like weird things. But I don't know. I felt like it was a prequel. Like they almost shot him in a chocolate vat. They tried to drown him. They
That's
almost
true.
tried blew him up. Like it, we were having serious consequences in this Wonka movie, to be clear. So I think it was just enough. If my 12-year-old brother liked it, we hit the mark. This is like the FNAF movie.
My biggest problem with it was just the fat phobia.
Oh yeah. Yeah, let's get into
Yeah,
that.
it was weird. Like, I don't want to dwell on the Wonka movie too much in this episode, but like, I don't know. Like, I thought we were past this. One or two jokes, I was like, ugh, whatever. Like, I'll try to just ignore it.
Yeah.
But every time Keegan-Michael Key came on screen over the course of like the 2 week timeline of this movie, he somehow puts on like 20 pounds every time he comes back. And then the only thing that they say to him is about his weight. I
Yeah.
mean, clearly, because
Like
that's supposed to be the punchline, I guess. And I'm just like,
it's
it.
also not even just like the weight, it's about like corruption and greed being tied to fatness and stuff. You know, we could talk about this for a while, but I felt like I was kind of thrown back into a like early 2000s movie. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
it was pretty bad. But
Yeah.
so it goes. Then we come home. We go to your house. We make your mom and her boyfriend leave the living.
I was like,
We're like,
hey.
we're here to do adult women activities. Like watch Journey to Bethlehem starring Milo Manheim. And drink spiked hot chocolate in Florida. 70 degrees outside, and you and
Yep.
me are both sweating in this living room
Sweating
for
from
the
this hot
vibe.
chocolate, this spiked hot chocolate with peppermint liquor. And we rented Journey to Bethlehem.
We paid $6.
We did, in fact, pay money to watch it. Because what happened was we were gonna stream it for free. And
Which
Isabel goes,
we could have done, which we could have
no,
done.
no, 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 no. And then Isabel goes, ooh, I don't know what's playing right now. Because she's on a weird, wonky website, and suddenly she's like, oh my God, I think it's playing porn. I
You
was
just gotta click past it. It'll go away
like,
after
what?
enough
Yeah, trying
time.
to stream it on the TV at my house. I was like, let's just pay the $6 because no, I
You're
can't.
not a real film girl. You don't try to get past the mall.
Ridiculous. But you know what, y'all, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say it. The you know what, Mr. Milo Manhunt, you have it, sir. You have it. Three of those, what was it? Those zombie
Wise men?
cheerleader movies. Like, and you know what? Your ticket is clicked, sir. You are ready for Hollywood because you were serving as Joseph, eating up that song because it was stuck in my head for days. Days. The song from Journey to Bethlehem was stuck in my head for days.
Before we even watched the movie, I played the song in the car without even knowing that I knew all the words already. I was just like singing along, just trying to see like how much of the song I knew. And I was like, oh, I know the whole song.
Yep. No,
Just from watching edits and clips on TikTok.
Because the TikTok edits were inescapable on my For You page for days. So when you were like, we should watch it jokingly, and I was like, ha ha ha, yeah, we should. I was intrigued already. How many edits of Joseph can one get on their For You page the week of Christmas? You know what I mean?
Not enough.
And no, not enough. Also, Antonio Banderas is in that movie, and he sings and performs in one of it is the cuntiest song in the Journey to Bethlehem soundtrack. I was kind of shocked how much that one scene
We
was
kept being
like.
like, we're ready for Journey to Bethlehem, Journey to Bethlehem.
Journey to Egypt. Let's go.
We have another $6 ready.
If Milo is there, girl, let me get a camel. We're headed to
We
Egypt.
will be riding via map.
Yes.
To Egypt.
Muppet style. We're gonna travel by map.
But yeah, those are the two movies that we watched together while you were here.
Yes. One other movie I'd like to mention. I paid to watch the Trolls movie with my siblings. I would like to say I paid the day of Christmas to watch Trolls. It was $20. I paid $20 to watch Trolls 3. Just so my sister could sing the little songs and learn the little dances. And you know what? I'll admit, the entire week from Christmas to New Year's, the only thing played in her car was Trolls 3. Not the NSYNC versions, the troll movie versions. It's good. It was good. You know what? I can't even lie. It was good. And those little like green-haired villains, they were good too. I'm sorry. The songs are so good. This is the gateway to Pitch Perfect. Maybe one day my siblings will see it. Maybe. All we can do is pray.
Yeah. Anything else that you saw apart?
Oh, I've seen so many movies.
Me too. Well, I don't know about so many. I haven't seen that much more. I saw Get Out for the first time, finally.
Oh, how do you like it?
I liked it a lot. I think because I like it was such a huge phenomenon and it's taken me this long and I already know what the twist was, even if I didn't know all the specifics. I think that the shock value took or the lack of shock value took away a bit of the experience, but that's not the movie's fault. That's my fault for taking so long. So like for me, I think that I like Nope the most out of the Jordan Peele movies, then Get Out, then I don't know, Us was like fine to me. But I don't know if I had seen Get Out when it came out and when everyone was talking about it. I don't know if I would have seen it or thought it was like his best. I took so long because like I didn't even start getting into like slightly scary thrillers until post Get Out. So, you know, by the time I was warming up to them, that conversation had left the station like a year or two already beforehand. And so I've just been dragging my feet, but Amy really likes scary movies, and she was we were looking for something to watch together, and I was like, I can't handle too scary. Okay, you got to pick something at least that's like a psychological thriller or like funny scary. So that's what we settled on.
Dang. I'm glad you watched it though. I really like that movie. But what else did you watch? Anything
I
noteworthy?
think I think the only other thing that I watched was the new Hunger Games again.
Okay.
So Amy hadn't seen it, so and I'm the only other friend that she has that is into the Hunger Games like that, so it was her only opportunity to see it with someone who understands. But yeah.
A guide, you could say.
Did you want to speed
Dude.
run through the other stuff that you watched?
Yeah, I watched actually a lot. I
Oh.
watched, let's speed run through this. I watched Meet the Fockers, Knives Out, Fast Five, because my siblings just wanted to get to, we'd watched four, and I guess we hadn't seen five, so we got to five. I rewatched Nacho Libre. I love that movie. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. So that one's a notable one. I watched Clue from 1985 with Tim Curry. Kills. Elle Enchanted. I
Haha,
love that
kills.
movie.
Sorry, continue.
Oh. I watched Totally Killer, that movie on Amazon. It was okay. I watched A Haunting in Venice, which I didn't know until I clicked on it. A Haunting in Venice is a sequel to Death on the Nile and Murder on the Orient Express. But I don't know which one I like better. I think they're all kind of mid, but I do keep watching them.
I don't remember a single thing from Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, that
And you
one's
can best believe I did not watch Death on the Nile.
Really? Obviously, I watched the Little Women movies. I watched a movie called Predestination with Ethan Hawke. I don't know why his movies are on Tubi like that. Ethan Hawke is Tubi's
You're really
favorite
on an
guy right
Ethan
now.
Hawke kick lately.
It's because he's on Tubi. I'm on Tubi, and all his movies are on Tubi. It also has the actress from Succession in that movie.
Sarah
And
Snook?
she I don't know. She has red hair.
Probably.
Yeah, she's very good. She was very good in that movie. I watched Welcome to the Dollhouse and The Skin I Live In, which is another Antonio Banderas one. That one's messed up. That one's
Still
messed
gotta
up. That's
watch
all
it.
I'll say. That one's messed up. Just know.
Okay.
Insane. But
Cool.
yeah, that's what I watched. I watched a weird mix. It was like with my siblings and then Tubi. I started. Don't even get me started on airlines because I started the movie Past Lives and I got halfway through. And I may pay the money to finish it because I can't. I'm itching so bad to finish it. I want to watch it. I want to sob. I don't even know if it's a movie you sob to, but I feel like I might.
Sounds like one. I haven't seen it yet either, but I definitely want to.
I know.
But
Ah, that
given
was
what
so sad.
everyone's saying, it sounds like something that you would see. Not just
Yeah,
you
so.
specifically, like the general you.
Yeah, but I didn't get to finish it, but I was halfway through. So hopefully I'll finish that sometime this week.
Maybe I'm going to get on a plane this weekend, so maybe I don't know if United Airlines has TVs, but maybe I'll
Hopefully
start it.
you get to catch it. Yeah.
Well, my flight is like 6 hours, so I
Oh,
think I
you'll
might have
definitely get to
time.
finish it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how do we want to get into this? This week, we watched. Well, I watched it a while ago. But it's okay because I don't need to refresh it because this movie, at least one of them, is in my brain all the time. And I replayed some scenes for Amy because I was so passionate about this. So, like, you know, I've had kind of a refresher, for both of them. We're watching Little Women, 1994, and 2019 for some movie versus movie action. I did finish the audiobook. It is very good, and I'm normally not an audiobook person, but it's narrated because, like, Spotify just recently is like you have like a certain number of hours a month or every 2 weeks or something like that you can use if you have like a premium membership on audiobooks. So I was like, I know that the girls tussle over which of these is better because, and like a lot of it's because of book accuracy. So I was like, I want to be primed. So we'll see what I title this episode because both a movie versus movie and a book versus movie might be a long title, but I'm probably going to bring up the book a lot. good. You know it was good when I was able to both work and pay attention to the audiobook at the same time.
That is crazy. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, where should we begin?
I guess we could begin with.
I had never seen the 1994 version before watching it for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw the 1994 version first.
Oh.
I watched the 2019 version maybe 2 years ago. Like it was a while after it had already come out.
2019 is the singular movie that saved me from Cats being the last movie I watched before the pandemic.
Oh my God, because we saw Cats together.
We
It
saw
was before
Cats
they
together.
fixed the like butts too. We
It
saw
was
like
me, you, not that you need a reminder, but me, you, two boys. Laughing so loudly, just unabashed in this movie theater. And
yeah,
you know
Cats was the
what?
last movie I saw before COVID.
No, Little Women 2019 was my last movie, thank God.
No. Damn.
But
Yeah, no, I
will I
didn't watch
ever
it until.
watch? Will I ever watch Cats again? No. Do I regret that experience? Not necessarily. What were you gonna say?
The only reason I watched Little Women 2019 is because it came out on streaming and I had seen the other one previously and I was like, how will this hold up? So we have different connections with films about Little Women.
Okay, wait, really quick, I forgot. Did we read the here? One of us can read. You can read the 1994 Letterboxd summary, and I'll read the 2019 one.
Well, the 2019 one is super short.
Oh, really? Well, I can
Yeah.
still read
So,
it.
all right. So, 94, the story that has lived in our hearts for generations now comes to the screen for the holidays. With their father away as a chaplain, in Civil War, Joe, Meg, Beth, and Amy grow up with their mother in somewhat reduced circumstances. They are a close family who inevitably have their squabbles and tragedies. But the bond holds even when later male friends start to become part of the household. Which,
Okay, interesting description.
okay.
I don't know if I would say male friends, plural. Just
There's a
Lori.
very clear, yeah.
Who, I don't know if you've seen Marcelo Hernandez's, who I was within the same mile radius of last weekend, joke about him being a Latina woman up until the age of like 17. But that's basically Lori in this movie. It's just him being the Fifth March sister in both movies
Yeah.
until they grow up. Yeah, I see what you mean now that I'm looking at the Little Women 2019 description. It just says, four sisters come of age in America in the aftermath of the Civil War.
Which I would like to say a first note. When I watched the 2019 version, they were not hitting the Civil War notes as hard as I feel the 94 version. They were doing it differently. I'll say that. I feel like these two movies do things really differently in a way that like some of the choices made in both movies I like and some of the choices made I don't like. Like there are bits and pieces I like to pick apart of them.
Yeah, I had felt this way when I was watching both of them, and then I saw someone put it together in a very concise wording in Letterboxd, but they basically said so I can't remember who it was, but they said something along the lines of like, what Little Women 1994 has, Little Women 2019 does not, and what Little Women 2019 has, Little Women 1994 does not.
Yeah.
I agree to an extent, to an extent. But we'll get into it. I guess it just comes down to like I think that it's true. But that, you know, it just depends on which of those aspects you value over others.
I guess we could start with the plot. But both movies take it differently. So the 94 version is chronological, and the 2019 is parallel story. So it's kind of like chopped in half, and we start both halves at the same time. So we jump back and forth from what we assume is the present and the past, but the story parallels itself. Specifically around Beth.
Yeah, she kind of just uses like lighting and visual cues to indicate to the audience, which timeline they're in basically. So when they're in their like adult stage of life, all the sisters, it's very like cold, cool grading, color grading. And then when they're children, it's very like bright and warm, which confused more people than I thought when it came
Really?
out. Apparently, and like no judging, because like clearly, if you were confused, like you weren't the only one, but I was surprised that like it was hard for people to follow. But yeah, I don't know, I just really liked that stylistic choice.
No, I really like it because it's just, I think because the girls look the same. So, like, I think specifically because Florence Pugh is like, there's no younger actress for Amy. They had to do something because I'm sorry. That grown woman pretending she was like 10.
I didn't know how old Amy was supposed to be when I first saw this movie, which I'm sure also helps. But
Yeah.
I will say it's a little hard to ignore her when she's in a classroom full of real 12-year-old girls. And she's the only one who looks like that. And I know that back then, a lot of like quote unquote grades were just learning at the same time. They made nary an effort to put anyone who looked remotely Florence Pugh's age, which I think is our current age when she was in this movie, give or take a year, so 23. Yeah, I don't.
It's a tough sell for me,
It is a tough sell.
and I think it impacts the movie in a good and a bad way. So I think that it helps me reconcile with her and Lori's relationship because they look closer in age, which helps a bit for me. And also, like, they dress her differently, so like you can tell that she's getting older. So I think it helps the story in that way. But I think it harms the story in some way because I think when they change actresses in the 94 version, you can tell time has passed. Like, time has passed, like the girls are getting older, and it's a visual cue of like, oh, this is different. Like, this is very clearly different, and this is why the dynamics have changed.
Yeah, to give a super fast rundown, if you don't know the story, basically, Little Women is a story that I want to say came out in the like late 1800s by Louisa May Alcott, and it's just about these four sisters, who for that time, like their family is very progressive, and it was like a very feminist book for the time. I mean, it's still considered to be one now. And then there's like this, they used to be rich. But the only one who really remembers that is Meg and the parents, obviously. So they're like, I guess maybe like lower middle class for this time. That's the other thing that we'll get to is I think like how poor they seem in both movies is different. But yeah, basically they have a neighbor, Lori, who's really rich but really lonely, and he kind of becomes ingrained in their family, and it's really cute and sweet, and you're just watching them all grow up together. So, and then eventually navigate adulthood. But yeah, so it's continuing with the Amy tangent. So, in the 1994 version, I don't remember the other actress's name, but young Amy is played by Kirsten Dunst, and she's stealing the show. In every
Real.
scene that she's in, she's beating Susan Sarandon and Winona, not, is it Winona Ryder, right?
It is.
Yeah. Like, that's why they had to get her out of there. Because it would have just been the Amy
was too
Mart
good.
show. It was too good.
But I also think because she was an actual little girl, the dynamic of like Joe being annoyed by her and being kind of mean to her made sense. Like,
Yeah, it's interesting to me that people supposedly hated Amy's guts before the 19 or the 2019 version, at least like generally speaking. Like, I guess a lot of people didn't like her character. And I don't really understand why, because you would think that like watching an adult woman burn Joe's novel is a harder, more unforgivable watch than watching like a 10, 11-year-old Kirsten Dunst do it.
No, and I think that also, like, watching her, you're like, oh, this is very clearly a child. And then as she gets older, and you're like, okay, that makes sense why the aunt would like her more. And then she goes to study in Europe and becomes a young woman. And it's like, okay, this is why her relationship with Lori changed. She's a woman now. Like, there's like a very clear shift. And just seeing Florence Pugh change dresses, at some points I was like, all right.
Okay, I can suspend my disbelief about Florence Pugh for the whole like the entirety of the movie except for the school scenes, because they're putting her around the other children and then like you're making it impossible to ignore. But when she's not around the other kids,
Yeah, they just
I'm
seem like
buying
sisters
into it
closer
more.
in age.
Yeah,
But I
you're
think because the
yeah.
dynamic is that she's supposed to be so much younger, when she's like talking about limes and like Emma Watson is like handing Florence Pugh someone who's only a couple years younger than her, it's less endearing than in the old one where like this clearly
It
older sister is handing her sister like money for limes.
is less. And that is why I forgive people for having fair opinions about the 2019 version. I will say that in the 1994 version, because Kirsten Dunst served so hard, I
It's
think
so
that
hard.
like the other girl that eventually plays older Amy just does not hold up. Like, especially like younger Amy is very fiery and like obviously part of it is because she's a child, but like I because she is the same person, Florence Pugh maintains that in her performance in younger versus older Amy. Whereas like the girl that plays older Amy in the older version just is not giving like it's giving a different person with the same name.
I agree with that. I think that like the only way I rationalized it in my head was that like because she was under with her aunt for so long and not with her sisters, that she adopted this like, okay, how like being womanly or like feminine and kind of like toned down, because when she's with society or like other people, she's kind of like that. And the only time that she gets a little ticked off is when Lori's like, ha ha ha, like, and she's like, you're a bum, you don't do anything, like you should go to work.
But at the same time, like, I mean, the
It's
reason that
not the
she's,
same way.
yeah, when the reason she's sent to her aunt is because Joe is originally being paid by the aunt to like read to her and help out with things and whatever. And then Beth gets sick with scarlet fever.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Yeah. And, you know, the other girls have had it before, but Amy hasn't. So she gets sent to the do Joe's job basically and live with the aunt. So that's what initially lands her there, but I do think that she chooses to keep Amy because she does have better manners than Joe even before she gets there. Like, especially in the book, they emphasize a lot about how she's constantly trying to like use big words that she doesn't really know how to use. And like they all kind of have like their own vice that Marmee, their mother, is trying to kind of like, you know, warn them could become a problem later in life for them. And Amy's is being too vain. Or, I mean, that's more like Meg's, but Amy's is kind of being like too self-important. So there's similar problems, but like Amy's is more of like a, like, you shouldn't be so pretentious. And Meg's is more like, you shouldn't be so self-absorbed, if that makes sense. They are different problems, but I under like explaining them is kind of cloudy unless you've seen the movies or read the book.
I think like that's a big shift from both movies of like that the Amy situation in general. But you mentioned Beth, and like what did you think about how Beth as a character works in the two movies separately?
Okay, so I don't remember the last time I watched Little Women 2019. It is one of my favorite movies, but it's not like, Pride and Prejudice for me. It's up there, but it's not Pride and Prejudice for me. So I watch it maybe like once a year, maybe once every couple of years. I was about to be like, oh, haha, that doesn't make sense because it only came out recently. It came out 5 years ago. That's crazy. Anyways, but yeah, so I couldn't remember exactly, and I watched the 1994 version first before rewatching 2019. So when I was watching that version, I was like, it feels like Beth is part of the family more in this version. She does talk a lot more, or like not because, okay, in the 2019 version, she talks mostly to just Joe. And it is like part of the book that Joe's kind of like, I mean, she would never say it. She would never say her favorite sister, and she loves all of them. But like when she gets sick, she asks for Joe to be the one to like sit by her bedside instead of Meg. And it's very much a point that like Meg looks after Amy and Joe looks after Beth. They all look after each other, but like they're just kind of like parallels to the younger sisters in that way. And so there was more like everyone interacting with Beth in the older one, whereas like Beth is interacting mostly with Joe in the new one. As far as like Beth as a character, I think I like her more in, I mean, we'll get, I guess we're gonna, this is spoilers because we're gonna get into like our preferences for both, but it's hard to avoid that conversation while talking about the movie. But I do like Beth in the 2019 version more just because she feels like she has more personality. Like even though she is home all the time and keeps to herself, her personality seems more similar to the rest of her sisters. And like Greta Gerwig, I don't know how I feel about everyone putting Greta Gerwig on this like pedestal of like being the female director of like, the greatest one of all time. But she is pretty good. And like listening to her talk about her thought process about not just Little Women, but like all of her movies is so interesting. And hearing her talk about like how Beth is just as much a person with passions and aspirations as the rest of her sisters was just like really cool. So I just think that she puts a lot more life into Beth in the 2019 version, whereas Claire Danes in the 1994 version is kind of giving Victorian ghost child.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I think that like the 2019 version, she has more of a personal storyline of like personal stakes and ambitions and stuff like that, which I think I really like for Beth because at some points it feels like Beth is being ignored. But I think that the older movie, because they said like she had always been sick. Like after she got ill, like it just affected her immune system or whatever. I think that like it was a lot sadder when, spoiler alert, Beth dies.
Yeah, I mean,
And
you
when,
all but see Beth die in the
yeah.
1990s.
And like it was so sad, especially 'cause like I think that in both movies they have the conversation of like how Beth kind of feels like the one out. Like she's, like they all have their talents and she feels like she didn't have that. But in the 1994 version, it's so tragic because she says, like, I don't like being left behind and now I'm the one going ahead. And it is heartbreaking
Yeah.
that, like, this whole scene is so tragic where I feel like in the 2019 one, Like, it's very sad, but like that last conversation, I don't know, man, it hit me on that 94 version. Did it not hit you?
I'm gonna be
No.
honest. But Beth, throughout, not just in this scene, but throughout the whole movie, was creeping me out.
What?
Like,
The
something, yes, something about her facial expressions that she's making throughout the movie.
girl? She's sick.
I don't know what it is. And I showed it to Kira. I showed it to Amy, and she kind of understood what I was like talking about. And I still think it's sad. Like, it's not like I was like laughing at this part of the movie. But I was just so put off by Claire Danes' performance that I was like, this is giving Ghost. How did she telekinesis open that window? Basically, she's dying. She gives a, like, I'm not trying to like downplay a really sad emotional monologue that we don't get in the 2019 version that reveals like a lot more of Beth's inner thoughts than you get in the new one. But yeah, she delivers this like huge sad monologue to Joe, and then the window flies open and you see Joe go to the window to close it. And I knew the second that the window flew open, I was like, this bitch's soul just escaped. No, the second that window flew open, I knew what happened.
Oh my gosh.
And
Yeah.
so she turns around and I'm like, yep, she's gone. And like, it's also just the way that she's like crying in that scene is like, I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of like how some people don't like how like Florence Pugh fake cries. Like she does that like frowny thing. Maybe it's just like,
Okay, I can get that.
yeah, it's probably just a me thing. You know, I still think that it was a good performance. It's just out of the two, I prefer. I don't know that actress's name, but I do prefer the other Beth. But I will agree that like the 2019 version of Beth's death is a lot more like centered around Joe and how it impacts Joe, than like focused on like Beth specifically. But yeah, I don't know. I just could not get with Claire Danes in this movie.
I get that. I think that f when like the way they did it in the 2019 one where Beth obviously goes and plays piano at Mr. Lawrence's house and stuff. I really enjoyed that Mr. Lawrence and the March family were like more connected in the 2019
Yeah,
version.
I was gonna say that too.
It's more big happy family vibes, which I really enjoyed because then it just kind of feels better. It makes sense in the 94 version that obviously some older man is not going to be coming and hanging out at their crib all the time. But it is nicer in a lot of ways of they're all helping each other and stuff like that. Especially when the March family, it seems, kind of gets snubbed by other people in society. Like even their aunt, their aunt literally is like a hater. Hater number one. And we see in some moments with Meg when she's with the other girls and they're like, doesn't your dad, isn't he like a progressive? And then they had to close his school and now y'all are poor and stuff like that. And so there's consequences for the girls or the Lime situation. I think they had said something about her father and that's a whole thing happened with there was just things like that. And so it's very nice to see in the 2019 version that they're kind of big happy family, although they don't get as deep into the consequences on the girls for what their parents do.
Yeah, I feel like it is a very like the argument of like 1994 versus 2019 is very similar to Pride and Prejudice 1995 versus 2005 in the sense
Yeah.
that like I still haven't watched the series yet. But
What?
I know that a lot of people's argument in favor of the series over the movie is that it's more accurate. Which, like, I will agree, I will say that the 1994 version is more accurate. So if that, like, if you value accuracy, which is like a fair thing to value, especially if you're a huge fan of the book, because like so many girls for like almost 2 centuries now, probably over two, yeah, no, for maybe like a century and a half now, grew up with this story, and there's been like four adaptations at this point of just like film adaptations. It's understandable if like that's your number one priority is accuracy, but it's just not for me. So I liked the change where in the book, Mr. Lawrence is not cold, but like at first he kind of snaps at Beth, I think for like playing the piano or something, because it belonged to his granddaughter at first. And then he feels kind of bad, and he eventually is like, gee, my piano really sure could use someone to play it. And then Beth is like, I'll do it. The other thing is in the 1994 version, Beth is not really shy. She's like more chill, and she's definitely sick, but she's not shy. Like,
She's shy compared to the other girls who are
I
screaming and
guess.
dancing, but
But
like she's
like,
not shy.
yeah, but Beth in 2019 is like
Shy.
deathly shy, which is more book accurate. I will give 2019 that one. But yeah, in the 2019 version, you don't really have him snapping at her, which I do think is a good choice because it makes him seem more endearing. He just does that thing where he's like, I wish someone would come to my house and play the piano.
And also, like when Joe is there for the first time, and she's like, "Low key, my grandpa looks better," and he's like, "He was a chill guy." Like,
No, we do not compare grips.
like I love that, and I think it's such a nice addition to have him be like a nice man, especially to the girls when their father is not there.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. But yeah.
I know that we like I know I am, I've
Oh,
been
here we
rocking for
go. Here we go.
94. I know I'm rocking for 94, but I do think like I resonate a lot with the idea of like what the 2019 has, the 1994 does not. So I think that the 2019 version is a better process, like it has a better process of thinking through like what is going on with the March sisters individually, of like why is Amy getting married, what is it like, how is this, like especially the conversation she has with Lori, and then Joe with her conversation with Marmee, and Meg with the conversation with her husband when they don't have money and she's already chosen to marry a poor man. Well, in 94 it's like, boo, don't marry him. Like, we don't get to see the consequences of that action.
No, like the whole time in the 1994 version, I was like, are we gonna see? Like, the second they get older, no Meg until like the end. And surprise, she's pregnant. At which point, Beth has already died. And then, you know, maybe the 1994 version isn't that book accurate because Beth does get to experience her niece and nephew for a bit. And like I think in the end of the book it says something like when the kids eventually get older, they only really have like a vague memory of Beth, but that's still a memory. And I do think that it's important that Beth got to interact with them at all. And like yeah, the kids are just like not a thing until the end of the original or the first movie. But yeah, I really like 2019 or like admire it a lot because you know, at that point, there had already been several like famous adaptations, including the 1994 version of Little Women. And so it kind of needed to do something new, especially because, you know, at that point, how many years would it have been? Like 25 years? 25 years? That sounds
Something like
crazy.
that.
Actually, I mean, maybe that's a, I guess that's a fair amount of
No,
time.
wait. Yeah, no. Are
Yeah.
you that bad
Or,
at
no,
math?
23. Look, I haven't had to do math in a year or two now.
It was 25.
Okay, see,
Wow.
I'm actually Einstein himself. Yeah, anyways. But yeah, so I don't know. It had to be more creative with the way they told the story. So I think that that's partly why they chose to do things out of order and in this parallel fashion. And also, she kind of like I wrote something down about how, everyone was trashing, but some people were trashing on the Barbie movie, because even me at first, before I let it simmer. That's one thing. I'm gonna say something real quick before I get on too many tangents. I think that I need to let movies simmer for a long time, because there's been a couple movies now where it's taken me a week to really think about it and be like, you know what? That might be my favorite movie. But anyways, so I needed to simmer on Barbie. I was quick to be not a hater, but like a critic during my first viewing. But basically, a lot of people were saying like, oh, it's a very shallow take on feminism when its goal really wasn't to be like, this end all be all like guidebook to feminism. It's just kind of to be like not even supposed to be baby's first feminism, but that's the level of feminism that we're rocking with in the Barbie movie. And I think that Little Women 2019 proves that Greta Gerwig doesn't have this shallow understanding of feminism. I mean, like, it's still very surface level in this movie, but it's clearly deeper than like what the Barbie movie was going for, because not only is she like delivering a feminist message that works now, she's also trying to take a feminist message from like a century and a half ago and make it work for now, while still staying true to the story. And I think that she just does that so well with like Amy's monologue about how, she's not just doing it because she wants money. She's not just marrying or contemplating marrying, what's his name, John.
Maybe.
I think that's wrong. Someone is named
I
John.
don't think his name is John.
Not
Is it
important. The
Frank?
other
No,
guy.
it's not Frank.
No, I think it is Frank.
Maybe.
You know who we're talking
Frank
about.
Vaughn. Fred. Fred
Yes.
Vaughn.
Oh, Fred Vaughn. He was just Fred Vaughn.
Yeah.
They spelled. Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, the reason in both the book, I mean, in all of the adaptations and the book, that she's considering marrying him, isn't just because she's like a gold digger. She's just
Yeah.
kind of like, like we can choose who we want to love in a way, and I think that might be a book quote. Not just something that like Gerwig came up with. And at the end of the day, I mean, she is right. Even though she kind of like feels bad about what she said to Lori in admitting that like, a girl has to worry about money, especially during that time. I feel like I'm just saying a lot of word salad. You know what I'm getting at?
No,
Like
I'm saying, like, I get what you're saying. Like, when she's talking to Lori, she's like, I have to make a good decision for myself. And I think we see this also with her, like, her great aunt, who she's been around a lot, being like, you have to make this decision to support your family. So, like, it's evidenced in that. And, like, growing up without. They're like, oh, we need to like make this decision. But I also think that this is like Lori has a little fight with each of the girls. So at the dance, him and Meg kind of get into it when she's like, he shows up and she's drinking and she's looking slay and having a good time. And they get into a little argument and then they both apologize to each other and then they have a good time. And then with Meg, or sorry, with Joe, obviously he proposes to her and she's like, no. So they have their little argument. And at the end, they kind of like are chill. And so with Amy, I like he has this argument with her. He has an argument with her in both movies. In 94, he's like, you're marrying Fred Vaughn for the money. And she's like, and you need a job. If like it's not even like it's not even like because I think in the 2019 version, it's more of like you wanted my sister before you, like I'm not gonna be your second choice, especially I feel like that's the main argument. Well, in the 94 version, it's like if you want to marry me, you need to make the choices to make yourself a good like candidate to marry me because like I need to have a good life. Like because even in the 94 version, she's a kid and she's like, I'm not marrying broke, period. Like I know what I want and I can choose that. And Kristen Dunst serves it.
Yeah, that is one thing too. In the 1994 version, which is understandable because it's the 90s, she apologizes for her thought process and she's like, "You're right. This isn't what a March sister would have been taught by her mother."
Yeah.
Whereas in the 2019 version, she doesn't apologize for it because she's right. But yeah, I don't know. Do we want to get to Lori while we're on the topic?
All right, y'all. So
Recline your chairs.
the entire reason I saw 1994 Little Women, the only reason I saw Little Women, period, is because Christian Bale is Laurie in the 1994 version. And we all know I am a hardcore Christian Bale fan.
Fail. The way
So
that you pause every time you say.
it's so funny. They have t-shirts like that where on the front it says I'm a hardcore Christian and then on the back it says Bale fan. I need one in a like you know the tiny t-shirt style, the little like
Yeah.
I need one. Anyway, that's the only reason I saw it. And do I love Christian Bale? Yes. Is this my favorite movie with him in it? No. Is he sweet and endearing at some points? Yeah.
Is he a
When?
menace in others? Yes.
Yeah, he is a menace, bro. When Joe rejects him, I think his reaction is so teenage boy. It's so much
He.
more boy than Timothée Chalamet's, where he takes it way better.
Christian Bale as Laurie delivers the world's breathiest proposal I have ever heard in my entire life. You would have thought this man ran a 5K before proposing to Joe. He's like, "Joe, I could say something." And he's practicing for Batman. He had a premonition and he was ready to see it through.
That man, 1994, how old was he?
I think was he 20?
He had to be.
I think he was 20.
Because, you know, when he was 17, yeah, he was about 20. So when he was 7 and he did that Newsies thing, I can't even finish the movie because his accent is so bad. Mr. Christian Bale is the king of American accents now. He is the best. But those first 5 years, let me tell you, he was struggling. And I think that's where the breathiness comes in. In like this proposal scene.
I don't even. Oh, okay. When I don't really remember, like I remember a little bit of the scene where Joe and Laurie meet in the 1994 version. I just think that the new version is so much more memorable. Like, first of all, I love the soundtrack, and them dancing on the porch is everything to me. I want to visit that house so bad.
I agree. I think it makes like it's prettier, but I think the 94 version, they feel like children because they're
This
like
is true.
rolling around in the dirt, in the snow. They're like running when like Lori is with the other girls up to a certain point. They're playing like rough, like they're playing like kids. But I agree that the because they because of Florence Pugh, I feel like in my head, they're all a little older in the 2019
Yeah.
version. So I think it works the way that they did it with Lori's introduction and kind of like they didn't see him before, like he didn't see them, or like we don't see that he saw them, because in the 94 version he sees them going out and like doing something and he's passing by, and so they make eye contact, so he knows of the girls and they know of him, but they kind of like behind who's the man behind the curtain in 2019 is fun, and they dance and it's a good time.
I just have a thought that I hope I don't forget, but it's like completely different. We're still on Lori. Yeah, I don't know. I
I
love
think
Timothée Chalamet's performance. Here's what I'll say. I'm not like a huge Timmy girl. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh my gosh, Timothée Chalamet, you are so hot and attractive. Like, I genuinely just enjoy him as an actor. But what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just going to speak a little bit about the two crimes Christian Bale Laurie commits.
Go for it.
That mustache on Christian Bale when he becomes older Laurie is a crime, and it needs to go to hell. It needs to go, so it needs to burn. And the worst part is, I don't know if it was a fake mustache or because he was so young he could not grow a good mustache. I'm so sorry to that man, but it was so bad. It was so bad. And I literally texted you and I was like, you're gonna know the scene where he commits a crime. And like, just text me when it happens. And she was like, what? And then you were like, oh.
Half of the Letterboxd reviews for the 1994 version have to be about this man's goatee.
It's not even just a mustache, it's a whole goatee. Also in that same part of the movie, Laurie, Christian Bale Laurie, comes on to Amy so hard it makes me scream. Like, she's better than me, because she literally, like, he's like, oh my God, remember that one time you said you wanted me to kiss you before you died, haha. And then she's like, maybe you should get a job or you should die. And then, which gets me into another point. I prefer the concept of Lori being like, oh, damn, and then going to get a job because she told him to get a job to be able to marry her, than the 2019 version where she's like, I will not be a second choice. And then Beth dies, and then he comes, and like, she rejects Fred's proposal, but he leaves without telling her anything. And I was like, this is a little more messy than the other one where he's like, hey, I'm gonna go to London, get that job. And then, like, at that point, Joe also knows that they're kind of hanging out, and she's like, oh, this is so good for them. Like, I'm glad. And it
Yeah,
resonated a little better with me.
I want to say, I can't remember for sure, but I want to say that it's also not a thing in the book where she puts the letter in the mailbox to like ask him basically to take her
Oh.
back.
Yeah, that I didn't like it.
Yeah, I understand not liking that.
Because in the 94 version, Joe was very much like, oh, lit, they're like happy together. Like, that's so great. I'm so excited for them. Like, I'm glad, especially when Beth dies, that Lori is there with Amy so that they both, you know, can mourn together. And when they get together, she's happy for them because she really does not want Lori at all. And the fact, I love the monologue that Joe does with Marmee, but when she writes that letter, I was like, oh, don't do that. No, don't do that. And then, like, he shows up and he's like, my wife. It made me so much more uncomfortable than the older version where she's like, oh my God, no, like, you were meant to be part of this family. And even at one point, he's like, I need to be part of this family. Christian Bale Laurie is like, if there's one thing I know, you know what? I hate Meg's husband. If you had a husband, Joe, I'd hate him. If Beth had a boyfriend or anything, I'd hate him too. I hate all of them.
Yeah,
It's so funny.
Joe's rejection makes Lori so much angrier in the 1994 version, whereas like he's just kind of sad, like really sad and depressed
Yeah.
about it in the new one.
Which is why I said it's so much more of like a young man rejection.
But it
Like,
feels icky. Like
it's so bad. He takes it so bad.
I think that 1995 Christian Bale is more attractive than 2019 Timothée Chalamet, but I lost all cares for that at all. The
That
second he was
mustache
like,
came
you
on.
know what? And you can die. And whoever you marry can die.
Yeah. It's low-key hilarious because it's the fact he literally is like, I was meant to be in this family one way or another.
This is his
One of
villain
y'all were gonna
origin
marry me.
story.
It's so
Death, all of it.
left to all of them. But what's it called?
So I think
So,
Timothée Chalamet is Laurie is more lovable, but I think Christian Bale's is definitely a young man.
yeah, I think he is a young man. You know, you propose to a second sister, and she says, get a job, and you're like, oh, dang, I guess I gotta go get a job. I will give it to Timothée Chalamet, Laurie. When he does that whole little like artistic French moment where he's like a drunk, you know, that boy does look French. I'll give him that. He
That
looks
boy
real
is French.
European. I think that's my thing with the 2019 version. Too many of those people look European. This is an American story. And I
Fair enough.
think they don't look American enough for me.
I almost forgot the most rancid part about Christian Bale's proposal. He forcibly kisses Joe, which
Oh
I don't
yeah.
remember being a
It
thing in
was
the book, and it's so
yeah.
uncomfortable. And not that's not the only off-putting kiss in the 1994 version. In the book and in the 2019 version, Meg is like taking it slow with what's his name? I can't even remember his name. With the professor, not the professor, Lori's tutor. She's taking this very slow because she's still young, and even her parents are like, you're still young, like just chill out and you guys can marry when you're 20. And that's what ends up happening. Any indication that he's attracted to her at all? First of all, he's looking crazy in the 1994 version.
Yeah.
Second of all, any indication that he's into her, like the second she catches a whiff of it in the 1994 version, they are making out on the porch. And I'm like, excuse me, you were
girls
worried
can't
about.
just
I was clutching my pearls.
it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. I will now begin to admit the biggest crime the 1994 version commits. That man, the professor, is so old.
He has 1 foot in the grave.
He is so old. Okay, like he knows the books she likes and he gave her an orange, which like he's so old. He's so old. He's so old. Does he critique her better than I think the 2019 version does? Yeah, I think the critique goes way better. It's chill. It's chill.
But
But
also, oh, okay. I mean, again, like I hate to say it, but the 1994 version, him being old is book accurate.
I
And in the
know.
book, they say a lot of time, which I don't know why that was necessary, but in the book, I mean, I do. Thematically, I kind of get it. Like the whole point is like, I mean, I'm still iffy on it, but she's just kind of trying to make a statement about like, oh, well, she like loves him and like we should just be happy for her and da 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 da. Would not work today. So I'm glad that they changed it because that is a child.
Yep. Yeah,
Yeah.
I can't rock with it. I'm so sorry. And then the new version, they made him hot. Yeah, I just can't. I can't. I like it way better than the 2019 version.
Also,
It makes more sense.
in the
It feels right.
1994 version, even more smooching. They're at the opera, and like the whole point is it takes her so long to even realize that she is in love with this man. He takes her on one date, and she's like, me slut-shaming Joe Morris.
No.
I'm joking, I'm joking.
All I'm
But like,
saying is
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it's inaccurate.
okay. But if I were just a girl and a man who gave me an orange and really liked the same books I did, took me to an opera and was translating it for me.
No, like I would do the same thing, but I'm not running up and
And
down
he's
the
an old
walls
man.
saying that I'm never gonna marry anyone. I'm like, who's the first taker? No, Joe March, this whole movie is like, I'm not marrying anybody ever, blah, 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 blah. And then the second that he expresses any interest in her, she's like, let me make out with you in the catacombs or whatever you call it of this opera.
Catacombs, they're at the top of the opera house. But yeah, I agree, the 2019 version does it better. And when they're doing that whole like, oh my God, they're running to like, it's like an airport, but it's not, it's a train station because it's a bajillion years ago. It is very sweet, and he's hot, so
Yeah,
it
a
works way better.
controversial hot take. So the 2019 ending frames the story itself as the book that she's
Yeah.
writing, which is like, I mean, that's kind of how it is in the book, but like it kind of like is more of like a twist, like, oh, the story that she's been telling the whole time is the book that she's writing. And like, I don't know how to explain it, but like, so then you get this scene where she's talking to the publisher and she kind of is like, I don't really want to give Joe a love interest. Like, I kind of just want her to be single. And I tried to find information on whether or not that was genuinely the ending that Louisa May Alcott wanted. And I think that it's like debatable. It seems like there wasn't really any concrete proof that, you know, that was the real ending that she wanted, but it is plausible. I just like the theme of Joe eventually marrying because I think that it points out that, like, number one, I think that it's supposed to be this huge thing that Laurie was right the whole time because he like knows her better than she knows herself almost, and he knows that she's going to get married eventually. And I think it makes it this bigger revelation when he figures out, oh, I'm supposed to be with Amy and not Joe. And like, I don't know. I think that it emphasizes the whole thing about them just simply not being the right people for each other. So I personally don't love how they make at the end of the 2019 version, they're just like, fine, I'll make her marry a man. Because I think that it takes away from the story a bit, but I get it. I
Agree. Because then, like, when Laurie does his whole monologue, he's like, you will live and die for this man one day. And it's not me. Let me go to Europe. I think, yeah.
I
But I
think it
do understand
also,
why people were like, ooh.
yeah, I think
We
it
did one for
also,
feminism with this one.
no, I was just about to say that, like, it undermines, where did I write this? It undermines the whole theme that, like, dreams of marrying are just as valuable as, like, wanting a career and all that. And a lot of people's argument, because, like, I've seen other people, like, agree with what I've said. Some people's argument is like, oh, well, Joe is running up and down the halls the whole time saying that she'll never marry. And that's different, okay? Because the whole point is like, you're supposed to kind of roll your eyes and be like, you're a kid. You don't know that. Like, and like, again, back to the whole Lori being right thing, like, he can see that that's not true. And I don't know. I don't love that twist, but like, I get the change because you don't want it to all be like one to one because that would be boring and it would defeat the point of like having a remake at all.
Yeah.
but I think it just takes away from it a little bit.
I feel like that was all the notes I had on both movies. We hit every mark I had.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Yeah, I guess like a lot of my stuff that I wrote is a lot more like on the technical level, like just kind of about how, and again, like part of this bias that I have for, in case you didn't catch on, I like the 2019 version more ultimately, but I do think, like, to be fair, I'm being served this content of like, especially like in the year or in the last year of like Barbie. I'm being served all this like Greta Gerwig content on social media and stuff. So I'm seeing videos of like her thought process, and I don't know what the thought process was as deeply for the director who directed the 1994 version. I just know that when Greta Gerwig writes dialogue, she writes it one on top of the other. When Florence Pugh came to set after filming Midsommar, they were kind of like, no, so like this is the rundown of how she writes dialogue, and it's very natural and da 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 da. And I do think that it results in more natural dialogue in the final product, and I just like it a lot. I don't know. Like, don't love the pedestal that people put her on, but it she is on it for a reason, a little bit.
I agree. I agree. I really like when dialogue kind of like overlaps.
Ooh, another version the girls don't like the or another reason the girls don't like the 2019 version is the costumes.
I was going to say something about this. The house and the costumes are not like, I get it. It looks beautiful. I will give it that. It looks gorgeous. But is this whole like, do we want it to be authentic or like as close to the original, or do we want it to be beautiful?
See, I prefer it being beautiful. I don't care or notice much if they're wearing Uggs, but I understand if some people have a problem with that. I totally get it, you know? I'm just asking for my yum not to be yucked. Not to you. Not that you need to. I just, yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it. Yeah. I guess that's, yeah. I mean, I could probably go on and on and on about both of them, but do we want to do our rundown of, yeah. So basically, this movie's been made in Hollywood 4 times. We don't need to recast 5 years
Nope.
later. So do we want to go through each character and give our preferences?
Yes.
Okay, let me pull up the cast list. I wrote it down somewhere, but I'm too lazy to go get it. Okay, Joe March, who do you prefer?
This was hard for me. This was really hard for me. Because I think Winona Ryder's performance as child Joe is better. Like in my opinion, like I feel like I can feel kind of the distinction between them as she gets older. And I really do like Saoirse Ronan's version in general. And she is more central to the story, I feel like, in the 2019 version. Like things kind of circle around her a little bit more. I might be a Winona Ryder. It might, but it's really a tear up for me between the two because I do really like them both.
This one was also very hard for me. And earlier in the day, I might have said Saoirse Ronan. But
It's Winona.
I think it's just my bias towards the film as a whole affecting my opinions on the characters. I think I have to give it to Winona Ryder begrudgingly. No, I'm kidding. She gave a really good performance. Like when Kirsten Dunst wasn't eating her up, like she was really good. She was still really good, just being outshined. But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. Because like I think that it's not like they were crazy ages like apart when they performed this role. But I do think that Winona Ryder is like a bit more believable. In the ages that she's trying to portray.
Agreed.
Also, Saoirse Ronan has like, I know that they're all British or Scottish or Irish or just plain not American, except for Timothée Chalamet, who's still debatable in the 2019 version. But Saoirse Ronan's American accent, it's not bad, but
No.
it's not undetectable.
Yeah, like Winona is very much American. Call.
Well, okay. I'm reading these in the order of the Little Women 2019 list on Letterboxd. So next is Amy Mars.
Amy, I will, I think I'm giving it to Florence Pugh because the performance as an adult is better.
Yeah, I was just gonna straight up be like, obviously Kirsten Dunst for
Yeah.
Child Amy, Florence Pugh for adult Amy. That one's pretty easy. But even as child Amy, like, it's not her fault she's 23. It's not working, but she's trying her best. And I don't know if anyone else could have gotten as close, which is still pretty far. See, that's the other thing is I do think that the 2019 version has so many more quotable moments, like the scene where she's in front, which I don't think, I mean, okay, so she gets her hand hit by the teacher in the book, but I don't think that she's like outside Laurie's window like that. And the scene where she's like, I hurt my hand or something.
It's so
She goes,
good. No, it's a really good performance.
Meg, what are we feeling?
I think I prefer Emma Watson.
I
But it's
also
because
prefer Emma Watson.
we get more Meg in general towards the second
Yeah.
half of the movie.
I do think she also has a not so undetectable American accent, but
Yeah.
I think it's like slightly better than Saoirse Ronan's.
I said it. The 2019 version has too many Europeans for a movie about Americans. They're taking our jobs.
Anyway, Beth,
Already know your opinion on this.
I gotta give it to Eliza Scanlan from 2019.
I do like her best. She's very shy.
Just feels
But that
sweeter.
performance, she feels really sweet, but that performance, man, I don't know what to tell you. In the 94 version, that
Does
last
it win
scene
you
with her,
over?
yeah, it did, kind
Ah,
of.
dang. I did expect us to be more at a. I think that I have come around a little more to the 1994 version as the day has gone on in terms of like one actor versus the other, but Marmee.
I'm sorry. I like Susan. Miss Susan, I love her.
What the mic thing, the Mike's mic thing where he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Laura Dern. I think a lot of it does come down to like which one you saw first at the end of the day. And I did see the 2019
Yeah.
one first. I think that their Marmies focus on different values of Marmee in the book. So like
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon's is a lot more serious. Whereas like Marmee in the 2019 version is like a lot more like, you know, like your general like I'm a loving, perfect person, but then you get to see these like bits where she's like letting Joe into the fact that like he really has to work every day to be that person. And we still get to
Yeah.
see Susan Sarandon be a strong person, but we don't get to see as much of like the background of that, you know, and like her inner thought process and her struggle to just maintain composure on a daily basis.
Yeah. I see that. I think I just like Susan. I think I just like her.
It's totally fair. Lori.
I'm so torn up because I love Christian Bale as young Laurie, But older Lori, I do prefer Timothée Chalamet.
I'm gonna say Timothée Chalamet all the way. I'm sorry. For the rest of it, to me, I don't think that it's a contest. But I don't know. Like I'll lump them in together because they're not as like big. But what do you think about Aunt March and Dad?
Okay, the dad does not show up as much in the older movie. Like, period, he does not show up as much. Like, after he shows up on that Christmas, we don't see he's in the background. Like, he's a
He, for
background character
for
immediately.
all we know, he returns to.
Yeah, like we don't get any more updates on him. And for the aunt, I think just for both characters, the 90 or the 2019 version is just better.
I mean, it's Meryl Streep.
It is Meryl. Like, what are you gonna
So,
do?
yeah, you can't really compete. I had never seen Breaking Bad. So, to me, Bob Odenkirk coming on screen didn't, I did not blink an eye. Apparently, it was very distracting for a lot of people. But I still haven't seen Breaking Bad. I will probably never see Breaking Bad. I just don't have time for that. And you know, my version of Mr. March will remain untainted.
I feel
But yeah, I guess the rest of them aren't like, it's like whatever, unless you really want to get
Yeah,
to it.
no, there was no one else I was like rocking hard for.
Yeah. But okay, so 2020, no, okay. 1994, how many Little Women out of five?
Oh, 3.5.
I also gave it, I think, a 3.5. 2019.
3.5.
I think I gave it 4 or 4.5.
I get
Let me
it.
see.
I understand it. It was good.
Like when Harry Styles said that his favorite thing about that movie, not this movie, but you know, that movie, is that it's a movie. There are a few movies where I've understood that statement, and Little Women 2019 is one of them.
Crying.
Like, you're so right. It was a movie.
Oh my gosh.
What do you love this week?
Okay, the biggest thing that I've loved this week is that I came back to school. My class has just started, my semester just started, and I actually have friends now, guys. Like, I like have friends and we hang out and like we chill and watch movies and it makes me so happy. Like, unironically, so happy to have friends and like feel good about being here
Yay.
and like moving and like not knowing anyone is so nerve-wracking for me. And I get really anxious, but it makes me really happy to have friends now. Like, I feel like I can sit there and be like, oh my God, I have friends. Like I actually have friends, like it's not acquaintances. So that's something I've loved. These are just gonna sound really now after that charming moment, these sound stupid. I've been obsessed with the concept of this man called Bevo. He takes
All right. Good night, everybody.
he takes like two bites of his food and swallows it. And just look it up. Just look it up. If you
Don't,
have it,
don't.
just look him up. I can't look him up very much because I've limited myself on TikTok to like an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, which is a lot still. But like, I feel
One
like.
point five to 2.4, yeah, to 2 whole hours of Bevo a day.
Yeah, of like TikTok a day, I feel like a rat scratching at my cage, being like, oh my God, when will I be free? But I need it. I'm addicted to my phone. Marcelo Hernandez is on this list. He's in the new Bad Bunny music video. And to go from funny SNL man who was a teenage girl until he was like last year to being a Bad Bunny in the Bad Bunny music video, you know what? Good for him. Good for him.
I don't think I watched the whole music video, but I watched the beginning where he's like posing to that girl. Put him in a rom-com right now.
Today.
Yesterday.
I went in production last night. But yeah, he does really good and I really like him. What a funny little fella. The man from the Holdovers, the guy, he was the student. He's also on here. I really love the Holdovers. The more I think back on it, the more I really, really love that movie, and I'm probably gonna rewatch it now that it's available for streaming on Peacock.
Me too.
I really liked that movie. It was just, and it's getting really cold here, which I'm scared about, but it's gonna start snowing and stuff. But like, I think the low next week at some point is like -2, and I've never experienced anything lower than double digits. So we'll see. But it would be really nice to sit in my apartment frozen in watching the holdovers. He will keep me warm.
It was so nice
Also,
knowing you.
also congrats to is his name Paul Giamatti, and
Yes.
he won at the Golden Globes for Holdovers. Congrats. Golden Globes winners, Obsessed, Ayo Edebiri, congrats.
I love her
Ah!
so much, and I'm so happy for her.
But yeah, I also this is gonna sound a little crazy. Shohei Ohtani, the baseball player who recently got like there were so many fan cams on my For You page, and you know what? They got to me.
You just have to unload your list of men that you've gathered from like the past 3 weeks.
The last 3 weeks, I just like the little like. I saw a TikTok of him, and one of the comments was like, "He's so big, but looks so nice."
Few words do true.
It's so funny. And the reason I bring it up is because I was hanging out with people, and a guy goes, "Oh, I can't believe they gave that guy like a contract of that many $1 million. I think it was like 700 something, like a lot of money." And for baseball, which like it's the American sport, but who's really like, you know? So I was like, oh, like that's a lot of money. Like, how are they gonna make that? And he was like, I don't know. Like, do you know even know who he is? And he mentioned the name, and then I was thinking about it, and they're like, these two guys are talking. And I at one point, it hit me and I go, wait, isn't that really hot guy? And they, like, the men stopped talking and just look at me. I looked it up and it was him. And then I was like, hold up. Maybe I
You're like,
should
you
get
want to
into
talk about
sports.
baseball?
Anyway, it is the American sport per.
Bit of
That's what I've been
pie's favorite
obsessed
pastime.
with. Real. Which? The Twilight ColourPop collection!
And the Lego set. And the Lego set.
And the Lego set was approved. Big ups for the Twilight community this year.
If last year was the year of Barbie, this year is the year of Twilight.
Twilight. But yeah, which, oh my God, I almost forgot to mention. In the 1994 version, when Joe is writing the book at the end of the movie, it's giving it's a possibility as the camera spins around the room.
Oh, one other detail I have to mention really quick that I like from the 2019 version is when she's writing and she shakes one hand out, passes it to the other hand. That's it.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, that's crazy.
Like
But
she's on that grind set.
so hard that you teach yourself to write with both hands.
I just love that little detail. Yeah.
Anyway,
Man,
what do you love?
I love my friends. I love seeing you and Lily, and we did our little book exchange after all of us slaving over what book to choose
That was
for
so hard. We
each
can't do
other.
that again. I'm sorry. We cannot. We
Yeah,
did this
no.
book exchange based off Pinterest boards. I'd like to say it Pinterest board images, and we were supposed to pull a book out based on preferences, like some like written preference. But it was so stressful, and even at the end, I didn't feel fully satisfied with my choices. I think next year we just gotta make a like a book list, like pick a book off the list and make a box.
Or we gotta finish our Pinterest boards like way ahead of time, like
Yeah.
July, like Christmas in July
I
is
was gonna
the due
say
date.
by March. Give me time to build this box.
Yeah. So it was really fun and I like the element of surprise, but man, I was stressing. But I really like what I picked for you. Like I'm obsessed with the book that I picked for you. The playlist, because I made playlists for both Chell and Lily's books, destroys me. Self-inflicted pain.
They're good.
And for Lily's, I just didn't have time to finish reading all the ones that I wanted to test out for Lily. So she ended up getting one that I didn't get to like completely verify. Basically for Chell, I got Alone with You in the Ether. And then for Lily, I got Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies. It has really good reviews, so I'm hopeful that it'll be fine. And the ones that you guys picked for me look so exciting. Yours came with a bottle of wine. So right now, I'm trying to finish Priory of an Orange Tree because I set it down to reread all of the Hunger Games books. And then right after I was done with that, I had to start testing books for you guys. So I started that book
Yeah.
back in like October and I'm just now getting around to like picking it up again. So I'm trying to finish that. And then I'm starting
It's a
yours
long
because it's a
one.
hardcover and I don't want to like damage it. And then Lily gave me also I want to drink my wine that you gave me at the same time. Like
I'm
I'm
gonna
ready to make nights out of this.
I also have a bottle of wine left, and like even after this, I was like, I think I'm gonna read my new books that I got from these book boxes and
Ooh.
drink my little wine.
Yeah, and then Lily's that she gave me is a paperback, and it's the perfect size for me to take on the plane this weekend. So,
Yay!
because that the Priory of an Orange Tree could be used as a door stopper. I cannot take that on the plane.
Probably kill a guy with that book.
Yeah, literally, if you don't even need to like hook it on a string or anything, you just give like a half-hearted whack and he's gone. But yeah. And then I think I already said it in the last episode, but the Percy Jackson series still going strong.
I haven't
There's
watched the newest episode.
I haven't either, so you're good.
Oh yeah, we've been on this call.
But that's pretty much all I've got. Let's see if this episode beats the world, the MILF Pod's longest episode.
Oh my gosh. I don't think so. I don't. Maybe. Maybe.
We'll see.
Oh,
We'll see.
another thing I have been obsessed with. I've been playing Roblox Natural Disaster with my siblings. And now that I play Roblox on my phone, I'm way better at it than on my computer. On my computer, we were doing so poorly when we played that one time. But now I'm good, guys. Like, I'm actually kind of like, I do survive most of the time on Natural Disaster Roblox. So. If y'all see, what was it? My at like Dev Patel fan account. Just know it's me playing Natural Disaster on Roblox.
Yeah. Well, if you made it this far, I really need to get used to saying this at the beginning of episodes. Although I feel
I'm
like it is a
horrible with
lot to just
housekeeping.
like housekeep in the beginning. But yeah, we have an Instagram. I'm trying to do this new thing, this new look. We'll see how long that lasts. I've been pretty lazy with the social media lately. We'll see. I do like how it looks better than the previous theme. It just is more intense to make even just the
Yeah.
announcement post, but it looks so much nicer. But yeah, it's a man, I love film pod. No dots, no under dashes, nothing on both TikTok and Instagram. And yeah. You got anything else?
No.
Man?
I
Love.
film.